الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين، نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين، ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد، تسجيلات دار السنة السلفية في لندن يسرها أن تقدم لكم هذه المادة. نسأل الله عز وجل أن ينفع بها الإسلام والمسلمين.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على الأنبياء والمرسلين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. الحديث السابع في رقية تميم بن أوس الداري رضي الله عنه، النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال: دين النصيحة. قلنا: لمن يا رسول الله؟ قال: لله، لكتابه، ولرسوله، ولأئمة المسلمين وعامتهم. رواه مسلم.
الحمد لله رب العالمين، اللهم صل وسلم على نبينا محمد وعلى آله في أجمعين. هذه الأحاديث الأربعون أحاديث مباركة وجامعة من أبواب من تمس الحاجة إلى العلم بها بمقتضاها على الوجه الصحيح السليم والنية الصالحة. وهذا الحديث السابع، حديث أبي رقية تميم بن أوس أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم كما قال: الدين النصيحة. ومعنى النصيحة الخلوص من كل شك وريب، ومن كل مكر وخداع، ومن كل باطل. فدين الإسلام دين الخالص في جميع جوانبه، في أصوله وحقوقه وهو النصيحة. ويأمر ولما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم الدين النصيحة، سأله أبو كرام أي لمن النصيحة. بيّن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم جهاتها، قال: لله، ولكتابه، ربه، ولأئمة المسلمين. والحديث رواه مسلم. فما معنى النصيحة؟ معنى النصيحة الإيمان به، أي الإيمان بوجوده سبحانه، كما قال تعالى: لا إله إلا هو الحي القيوم. والإيمان بربوبيته كما قال عز وجل: رب العالمين. والإيمان بألوهيته كما قال عز شأنه: إله واحد لا إله إلا هو الرحيم. وكما قال سبحانه: الله أحد، الله الصمد، لم يلد ولم يكن له كفوا. والإيمان بأسماء وصفاته العلى، كما قال عز وجل: ولله الأسماء فادعوه بها ذروا الذين يلحدون يجزون ما كانوا. وذكر الله عز وجل وصفاته في مسخن كتابه القرآن الكريم وعلى لسان نبي الأمين. ووجب الإيمان جملة وتفصيل على الوجه اللائق وجلاله بدون تشبيه ولا تمثيل ولا تكييف ولا تحريف ولا تأويل ولا تعديل، بل كما يليق بالله تبارك وتعالى. وهذا الإيمان بالأساس يستلزم على أوامره بناء نواهيه، لا ما أحل ما حرم، استجابة عموما له سبحانه ولرسوله عليه الصلاة والسلام. والنصيحة لكتاب وجل تأو العناية بطلبه ومعرفته والعمل بما فيه من الأحكام والحلال والحرام وجميع محتوياته التي ذكرها الله عن الكريم من الأحكام الشرعية اختلاف أنواعها، فرائض وواجبات وبيان الحرام والمحرمات فيه، وهكذا القصص الأمثال والترهيب وذكر النار، ذلك من محتويات هذا الكتاب. ومن أنا به العناية اللائقة به فقد قام بهذه النص لكتاب الله بحسب قدرته، ويطلب من الله عز وجل في حفظه وفي تلاوته وفي فهم أحكامه وغير ذلك مما كتاب الكريم. ومعنى النصيحة للرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم الإيمان برسالة جملة وتفصيل، ومحبته فوق محبة الوالد والولد والنفس كما ثبت بذلك الحديث عنه صلى الله عليه وسلم إذ قال: لا يؤمن أحدكم أحب إليه والده وولده والأجل. ولما قال عمر عنه: لأنت أحب إلي يا رسول الله إلا من نفسي، قال: حتى الآن حتى أكون أحب إليك من نفسي. قال: والله لأنت أنا أحب من وما ذلك لما له من الفضل أن الله أنقذ به آدم والجن، أنقذ به من شاء عال الإنس والجن من ظلمات الجهل وأليم العذاب إلى نور العلم والمعرفة، ثم إلى جنة أرض كأرض ما يقر عدة الذين آمنوا بالله. كما يتجلى نصيحة لرسول الله في بعثه كما قال الله تعالى: كنتم تحبون الله دوني يحببكم الله ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم والله غفور. فلا إيمان بالله إلا بالإيمان برسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم، وهذا لا يتم الإيمان إلا الإيمان بالمرسل تبارك وتعالى. والنصيحة لأين المراد به أن تولى شيئا المسلمين ولاية عامة ولاية خاصة، وجبت طاعتهم معروف والتعاون معهم على الخير، التعاون معهم على ترك الشر ودفعه، والصدق والوفاء في الولاء في حدود، ولا يجوز الخروج ولاة المسلمين بسبب معصية ما أو مخالفة أو تقدير يكون منهم، أن الخروج على أئمة وإن ظلموا وجاروا ساروا فيه شر عظيم ويعقبه كبير. رحم الله الإمام صاحب الحكمة قال 60 عاما بإمام جائر خير من ليلة بلا إمام. لذا وجب القيام بحب وعدم الخروج عليهم من حب. والنصيحة للمسلمين دلالتهم على الخير ومحبتهم في الإسلام ومحبة وصول الخير إليهم كما تريد أن يصل الخير إليك، وهكذا تقوم بحقوق التي جاء في القرآن الكريم وفي السنة المطهرة. قال الله تعالى إنما المؤمنون إخوة أصلحوا بين أخويكم، وقال النبي الكريم عليه السلام المؤمن للمؤمن يشد بعضه بعضا، وقال عليه الصلاة مثل المؤمنين وتراحمهم وتعاطف كمثل الجسد الواحد كمنه عضو أعاد وسائر السهر والحمى. إذن فالمسلمون أعضاء جسد، يحب بعضهم لبعض الخير، يتألم بعضهم عند الشر والفتن ويخلص لهم والأخوة على في محيط الكريم. وهذا ما دل عليه هو عليه الصلاة والسلام، أو بعض ما دل عليه الصلاة والسلام لما سئل عن النصيحون قال لله ولرسوله ولأئمة المسلمين وعامتهم رواهم.
يقول إذا نسي اللفظة أشهد أن محمد رسول الله، يعيد يستأنف الأذان من أوله، ماذا؟
إذا أدرك في وقته فهو يأتي بالجملة، وإن نسي حتى من الأذان سمع هذا.
شيخ أبو حاتم ما سمعت الجزء الأخير، ما سمعنا؟
يقول أو تعيد لهم الجواب.
نعم
تعيد الجواب لهم
الجزء الأخير يا شيخ أبو حاتم.
طب أنا شيء هذه الجملة لأن محمد رسول الله وأدرك خاءه في الحال قبل أن ينتقل إلى الجملة التي بعدها ويذكرها. نعم يأتي بالشهادة، وإن فاته معرفة الخطأ حتىها من الأذان فيعيد الأذان من أوله إلى آخره.
بارك الله فيك فضيلة الشيخ، أحسن الله إليكم.
ثم ينتج عن هذا سؤال آخر، وهو إذا لم يعد ولم يصحح الخطأ وأقام الناس مسجد الصلاة وصلوا بالإقامة، هل الصلاة صحيحة أو غير صحيحة؟ الصلاة صحيحة.
بارك الله فيك، جزاك الله خير فضيلة الشيخ. السؤال الثاني، هل يجوز تجميل الصوت عندما قراءة عندما يقرأ الإنسان الحديث؟
نعم.
هل يجوز تجميل الصوت عند قراءة الحديث؟ أحسن الله إليكم.
يقول إذا أراد أن يقرأ ويجمل صوته هل هذا جائز؟
يقرأ الحديث اللغة العربية، فإذا جمله بالصوت جناح عليه، لأن الوارد القرآن هو الذي يزين به الصوت، يزين أصواتكم بالقرآن.
يقول إذا قال الزوج زوجتي يجب عليك أن تلبسي النقاب، يجب، فهل يصبح فيها واجبا هذا اللبس لأنها ترى أنه
ليس في الحجاب الشرعي، ليس سنة يتاب فاعلها لا يعاقب تاركها، وإنما هو واجب أن تستتر المرأة سواء بالنقاب أو بما تسدله على وجهها وظهرها حتى يرى منها شيء، حتى أطرف القدمين، وهذا من الواجبات لا من المسنونات. لا تغتروا بمن يقول الوجه لا يجب ستره، الوجه من الأعضاء التي تلتفت الأنظار إليها، يحب الناس النظر أو النساء، واجب على المرأة ستر سترا كاملا بما في ذلك الوجه والكف، سواء بالنقاب أو بما تشكله من الثياب من فوق رأسها سائر جسدها.
أحسن الله إليكم.
ولي فيها آلة أرجو أن تبحثوا عنها، وهي موجودة وزع في الدول الغربية، رسالات المسلم الرسالات القيمة إلى المرأة المسلمة، حرصوا إن شاء الله أصروا في الجزائر.
نعم سماحة الوالد، الحمد لله نحن عندنا هذه الرسالة لطالب فضيلتكم في عندنا في المكتبة إن شاء الحمد لله.
إن شاء الله إذن دعوا إليها.
يكون إذا رد شخص حديث النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قوله لا يدخل إلى عقلي، هل يعتبر كافرا؟
يدخل
عقله الحديث
هذا يبين له، ويشرح له الكلام، لأنه قد يكون عقله كافر عاني، فيبين له معنى الحديث بعد أن تأكد من ثبوته، وبعد ذلك إذا بين له أن يرد الحديث فيقع إثم، يبين له ويصبر عليه الداعية حتى يكسب الأجر وينقذ صاحبه من الخطأ.
الله وبارك على سيد.
بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه. So we stopped on the hadith number 7 and the footnote by Imam Nawawi and the explanation by Sheikh Zayd al-Madkhali. And the hadith of today is on the authority of Abu Ruqayyah Tamim ibn Aws al-Dari, may Allah be pleased with him, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the religion is sincerity. We said to whom? He said to Allah, his book, his messenger, the leaders of the Muslim and their common folk. Related by Imam Muslim. So the Shaykh Hafidhullah, he began by praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and sending a peace and blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon Muhammad and upon his family and companions. Then the Shaykh began by saying these 40 hadith from the narrations of Imam Nawawi. They are blessed narrations, and also they consist of narrations which everyone needs to seek knowledge of. And this hadith that we're speaking of today, the hadith of Abi Ruqayyah Tamim ibn Aws al-Dari, that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, religion is sincerity. The religion is sincerity. The religion is sincerity. So the Shaykh says, the companions said after that, to whom, O Messenger of Allah? Then the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, for Allah and his messenger, and to Allah, his book, his messenger, and to the leaders of the Muslims and their common folk. So the Shaykh says, the sincerity here means that you free yourself from every doubt and every misconception and every falsehood. Naam, every falsehood. So this religion becomes sincerity for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this religion becomes sincere for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from all of its aspects. So this religion becomes sincere for Allah from all of its aspects and from all of its foundations and its rights. And when the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Shaykh continues, he says, when the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentions the religion as advice, so the Sahaba replied to him, to whom, O Messenger of Allah? Then he mentions the religion sincerity. Then he mentions, after they asked him, to whom, O Messenger of Allah? He mentions the sincerity and how you divide it up between the people, and how you divide it up between the people. So he said, to Allah, to his book, to his messenger, to the leaders of the Muslim and to the common folk. And the Shaykh says, this hadith is narrated by Imam Muslim and it is an authentic hadith. This hadith is an authentic hadith. So the Shaykh firstly explains the meaning of having sincerity to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He firstly explains the meaning of having sincerity to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he says, this means to have the faith in the existence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To have the faith in the existence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as Allah mentions in his noble book, Allahu la ilaha illa huwa al-hayyu al-qayyum. Allah, there is no one, there's no one worthy of worship except him, the one ever living. Naam. And also the Shaykh says, this also means to have faith in the lordship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To have the faith that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the Lord and he is the one that deserves lordship. And also to believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who is worthy of worship. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who is worthy of worship, and he is the one that you should direct all your worship towards. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, وَإِلَاهُكُمْ إِلَاهٌ وَاحِدٌ. And your Lord is one. Your Lord is one. And also he said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in his noble book, قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدٌ. Say Allah is one. Say Allah is one. Say he is Allah one. And also the Shaykh says then, to have faith in the names, the lofty names and the beautiful names and the lofty attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To have the faith in the beautiful names and the lofty attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As he mentions, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in his book, وَلِلَّهُ الْأَسْمَاءُ الْحُسْنَى فَادْعُوهُ بِهَا. And to Allah belongs the beautiful names, so call him upon, with those names. Call him with those names. And leave off those who disbelieve in his names. And leave off or stay away from those who disbelieve in his names. Naam. Then the Shaykh continues, also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions many of his names and attributes in the Quran. And also upon the tongue of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So you find many of the names and attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran, and also you find it in the sunnah of his messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the Shaykh says, he continues, he says, it's obligatory upon everyone to have faith in those names and attributes. All of them, in general and in specific. It's an obligation for everyone to have the faith in those names and attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Shaykh says, without likening the names and attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to anything else, without denying any of the names and attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, يعني without denying any of them, and without likening them to anything. نعم. But rather, you should believe in them as يعني it befits Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it befits His majesty. So you take the names and attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as it befits His majesty. The Shaykh also continues, likewise, having the faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala requires for the person to follow His commands and stay away from His prohibitions. This requires the person, the faith of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala requires the person to follow His commands and stay away from His prohibitions. Likewise also for His messenger. Having faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala requires the person to have or to follow the commands of the messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to stay away from that which he told us to stay away from. Then the Shaykh, he moves on to explaining having sincerity for the book of Allah. He comments on يعني the statement of the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم, who said have sincerity for the book of Allah or for his book. The Shaykh says this means to give extra care and to give or to give great care in seeking the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. يعني learning the book of Allah. This means, the Shaykh says, giving extra care in seeking the knowledge of the book of Allah and also understanding it and acting upon it. Giving extra care towards the book of Allah in learning it and understanding it and also acting upon it. يعني from that which it consists of, from the legislations, and also from that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala clarified for us, that which is halal and that which is haram. And the Shaykh says, everything that is included in the Quran, when you follow it, likewise the stories and the examples that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us in the Quran, when Allah gives an example or He mentions the stories of those who are يعني, who preceded us, and you follow that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made obligation for us, and you stay away from that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made impermissible for us, and you understand the book of Allah and you act upon it, and also you implement the legislation of Allah. So the Shaykh says, so whosoever يعني gives great care and pays great attention to the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by the way we've just mentioned, then this person has fulfilled the sincerity for the book of Allah. Then this person has achieved يعني, the part where the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم said sincerity for the book of Allah. This person has achieved the sincerity for the book of Allah. Likewise, the Shaykh says also reciting the book of Allah and keeping on reciting it and understand the rulings which are given in the book of Allah are يعني, from the ways which you can give great care and great attention to the book of Allah. Then the Shaykh, may Allah preserve him, he moves on to explaining having sincerity for the Messenger. Having sincerity for the Messenger of Allah. And he comments on this by saying, this requires the person to have faith in the prophecy of the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم, and that he came with the message. He came and he's a messenger from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And to believe and have the faith in everything that he came with, in general and in specific. To believe everything that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam came with, in general and in specific. And also to develop the love for him, or to have the love for him more than you would have for your offsprings, for your wealth, and even for yourself. To love the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam more than anything, more than your offspring, more than your wealth, and more than yourself. And the Shaykh says the proof of this is the hadith of Umar ibn Khattab, when the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, none of you believe until I am dearer to him, or I'm more loved to him than his wealth, his offspring, and himself, and يعني, the whole of mankind. So Umar ibn Khattab, he said to the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, O Messenger of Allah, I love you more than my offspring, and I love you more than my wealth, but I do not love you more than myself. So the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to him, no, O Umar, not until not until you love me more than yourself. So Umar bin Khattab, then he said, now, O Messenger of Allah, I love you even more than myself. So the Messenger of Allah said to him, now, O Umar. Yeah, now you have believed. You have the belief in your heart. So the Shaykh uses this as the proof that it is obligatory upon everyone to love the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam more than their wealth, their offsprings, their families, and also themselves. Naam. And the Shaykh says, yani he mentions, this is yani from the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and from his bounty that he gives to whomsoever he wishes, yani commenting on Umar's action. So the Shaykh says, the sincerity for the messenger, sincerity towards the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is by following the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in his book, say, if يعني, speaking to Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, say, if you love Allah, then follow me. Allah would love you and forgive your sins. يعني, the Shaykh uses this proof that having sincerity and having love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is by following the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Is by following the way of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So the Shaykh says, فَلَا إِمَانَ إِلَّا بِالْإِيمَانِ بِرَسُولِ اللَّهِ. So there is no faith and there's no iman except, yeah, there's no iman in Allah subhanahu wa taala except when you have faith in the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There is your iman, yeah, is wrong, is incorrect if you disbelieve in the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So the Shaykh says there is no iman in Allah except with iman of the Messenger as well. Naam. Then the Shaykh, he moves on to having sincerity to the leaders of the Muslims. Having sincerity towards the leaders of the Muslims. The Shaykh says, he explains this by saying, this is by cooperating and obeying the leaders. This is by cooperating and obeying those who are in charge and the leaders, yani. And you cooperate with them upon good. You cooperate with the leaders and you obey them upon good, as long as they command you with good. And you cooperate with them to, yani, to reject the evil. You help them to reject the evil and remove it. And also the Shaykh says, being truthful towards those who are in authority over you, and also being honest with those who are above you in authority, in the boundary of the Sharia, in the boundary of the religion. So when they command you of sin or an evil, then you do not obey in that. But you still, the Shaykh says, you do not rebel against them. You still do not rebel against them. So the Shaykh says it's not permissible for anyone to rebel against the rulers because of a sin they have committed or because of their shortcomings. It's not permissible for anyone to rebel against the rulers because of some shortcomings that they have or because of some deficiencies or some sins they have fallen into because of their weakness. It is not permissible for anyone to rebel against them. And the Shaykh says, rebelling against them leads to great danger. Rebelling against the rulers, and it leads to great danger. And he mentions the statement of Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, where he mentions 60 years, ibn Taymiyyah says, 60 years with an oppressive ruler is better than one night without ruler. 60 years with an oppressive ruler is better than one night without a ruler. And it shows you the danger that comes out from not having someone in charge and the chaos that causes that. So the Shaykh says, for that reason, it's upon us and it's an obligation upon us to cooperate with them upon the truth. To cooperate with them upon the truth and do not go against them, yani, and rebel against them and start fighting them. Next, the Shaykh, he comments on having sincerity for the Muslims, for the general folk, yani the Muslim and the general folk. The Shaykh says this means that you show them or you guide them to the goodness. You show them and you guide them to that which is good. And also you love them. You show love, you show love towards the Muslim people. And just like you love for them that they reach the truth, or you love for them that they reach the goodness, or the goodness reaches them. Just like you love it for yourself when you reach the truth and the goodness. So you love it for your Muslim brothers, just like you love for yourself that you reach goodness. And the Shaykh says, and if you do that, And if you do that, then you have fulfilled the rights of your fellow Muslims. The right that is over you towards your fellow Muslims. You have fulfilled that if you يعني, follow if you follow this, if you follow the يعني, what we have mentioned. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Shaykh says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in his noble book, verily the believers are brothers. Verily the believers are brothers. And also he mentions the hadith of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, المؤمن للمؤمن كالبنيان يشد بعضه بعضا. The believer towards another believer is like a building. يعني they hold each other. It's just like a building, they hold each other tight. And also the Shaykh mentions another narration and he says, the example of the believers in their love and mercy and يعني between them, just like the body. It's just like the example of the body. If one limb of the body is in pain, the rest of the body, يعني, that causes the rest of the body to stay up in the night and have fever. So the Shaykh says, that is the referring to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in his narration where he says, the believers in their mercy and love towards each other is just like the body. When one limb of the body is in pain, the rest of the body, that causes the rest of the body to stay up in the night, يعني, unable to sleep, and causes that to have fever. So the Shaykh says, the Muslims, just like the human body, just like the human body, and they love each other, and they want goodness for each other, and the hurt for one another, if one of them يعني, is in difficulty, or is in hardship, they hurt for each other, and they feel for each other. And also they are sincere, they should be sincere to each other, and all of this in the boundary again of the Sharia. All of this in the boundary of the Sharia. Naam, you do not exceed that which is outside from the Sharia. You do not cross the boundary of the Sharia. So the Shaykh says, this what the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam advised us, or يعني, he guided us to. Or he says, rather, some of the things or some of the advice that he يعني, passed on to us from this hadith. And the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Shaykh continues, or he finishes by saying, he's saying, and this is an example, this hadith, when the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was asked the religion as advice, and when he said the religion as advice, and the companions asked him, to whom, O Messenger of Allah? He said, to Allah, to his book, to his messenger, to the leaders of the Muslims and their general folk. So this is from the advice that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave to his ummah. Now, the first question was regarding if someone يعني, forgot the statement of saying, I bear witness that Muhammad is the Messenger of Allah while performing Adhan. So what is the ruling يعني, regarding this? So the Shaykh says, may Allah preserve him, he said, if he realized at the time, if the person realized at the time that he missed يعني, that statement, the statement of bearing witness that Muhammad is the Messenger of Allah, then he should say it. And if he remembered at the same time. But if he completely forgot until he noticed after he finished the Adhan, then the Shaykh says he repeats the whole Adhan. He repeats the whole Adhan. يعني from beginning to end. And the Shaykh says this results in another question. This question results in another question. And this is, if the person left out the statement of bearing witness that Muhammad is the Messenger of Allah, and he did not repeat the Adhan. He did not repeat it, or he did not يعني, say it. He did not remember at the time, and he did not repeat it after, and they have prayed. The people have prayed. Is his prayer correct? The Shaykh says the prayer is correct. So they do not have to repeat the prayer. The prayer is correct. The second question was regarding beautifying your voice while يعني, reciting the narrations from the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, while reciting hadith. The Shaykh says the person should recite hadith in Arabic language. The person should recite hadith in Arabic language, and if the voice was beautiful, then inshallah there's no harm. But the obligation is that you beautify your voice while reciting Quran, as the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam commanded us. He said beautify your voice with the Quran while reciting Quran. So the obligation is to beautify your voice in the Quran. Na'am. The third question was regarding the veil or the niqab, yani the face covering. And the question was, if a person commands his wife to wear the head cover, the face covering, يعني the niqab, does that become an obligation for her, even though she holds the opinion that it is recommended, highly recommended, and not an obligation? نعم. So the Sheikh says, يعني having the full body cover, including the face, having the full body cover, including the face, is not a sunnah. Is not a sunnah which the person, يعني the type of sunnah which if the person fulfills, he gets reward, and if he leaves off, he does not get any يعني punishment. Is not that type of sunnah. Having the full body cover with the يعني including the face is an obligation. The Sheikh says it is an obligation, and this is يعني from the top of the head until all the way down يعني to the feet, covering everything, including the face. Sheikh says, including the face. So the Sheikh says, do not pay attention to those who say or those who call to يعني making يعني showing the face a sunnah, يعني or wearing the face covering a sunnah. So he said, do not pay attention to this. And the Sheikh says, rather the face is more deserving to be covered. The face is more deserving to be covered, يعني from the body. Then the Sheikh says there's a small يعني book written by him. Okay, so the Sheikh says there's a small risala, it's called الرسالات القيمة إلى المرأة المسلمة, the beautiful statements or the beautiful يعني advice to the Muslim woman, or the valuable advice to the Muslim woman. The Sheikh says it's been widely يعني spread or is widely available in the Western countries. So he said, I advise you to read this book, and you'll find everything يعني regarding this. Right? The fourth hadith and the last one, the fourth question and the last one was regarding hadith. If a person rejects a hadith, a narration from the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, based on يعني he's unable to comprehend it, he's unable to comprehend the hadith, or his intellect does not accept this hadith and he rejects it, so what is the ruling of this person? Does he become, or does he fall into disbelief because of the rejection of this hadith? The Sheikh says, you clarify for this person and you explain to him the meaning of this hadith. You clarify for him and explain to him the meaning of this hadith, because you might find that this person, he's maybe deficient in his intellect. You'd find him that maybe he's deficient in his intellect and is unable to understand it, يعني, due to the deficiency in his intellect. So you explain it to him, and the Sheikh says, you be patient with him when you explain it. Then after that, if he rejects it, then he falls into great sin. Yeah, he falls into sin. So the Sheikh says, you clarify for him and you remain patient with him until you save this person. Until you save this person from that which he has يعني fallen into. Yeah. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, salatu salam ala ashrafil anbiya wal mursaleen. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.